Second book of Kings, please, and chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of God hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain and into some valley. And God, we know, will add his own blessing to his own work. Well, if I don't get him up into heaven tonight, the word of God has. And we'll rest in that. We've just looked in these studies together over these past few nights at this remarkable character of Elijah. And we say again, we hope that if you had a distorted, strange, unscriptural picture of Elijah, you might just have adjusted that over the last few evenings together. This wild, remote man, I hope we've discovered, is a remarkable man, a passionate man, a compassionate man, a committed man. And maybe, well, not maybe, but not as remote as sometimes we would care to make him. We've seen him in various spots of his pathway. And we've just sought to address him through that piercing question. What doest thou here, Elijah? And I hope that that question might rest on all of our hearts as we leave this place this week. To apply it to our own lives. What doest thou here? We've seen him at Carmel. We've asked him, what doest thou here, Elijah? We've seen him at Zarephath. We've seen him at Cherith. And we've asked, what doest thou here, Elijah? At Cherith he can answer you confidently. Cherith, to cut off, to cut down, to separate to. That's why I'm at Cherith. Cut off, cut down, separated to God. Why are you here at Zarephath? What doest thou here, Elijah? At Zarephath, I'm in the crucible. At Zarephath, I'm being refined. At Zarephath, I'm going to come out a man of God. And the lovely widow testifies to that. Now I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of God is truth in thy mouth. What doest thou here, Elijah? We saw him on Carmel, the fruitful place. And we just discovered together that if you've been at Cherith, if you've been at Zarephath, you'll find yourself fruitful for God. And we saw him taking the battle right into the enemy territory. And we saw fruits for God. On each of those occasions, Elijah had been directed by God. On each of those occasions, he had been sent by God. On each of those occasions, he had been empowered by God. And with a clear conscience, he could answer the question, what doest thou here, Elijah? The only time he failed to move where God sent, where God directed, according to the word of God, we find him last evening in the desert sands, under a juniper tree, a man who's lost his confidence in God, and we finally discover him hid in the corner of the darkness of a cave on Mount Horeb. What doest thou here, Elijah? And I just stress to you again tonight, Elijah never really ever answered that question honestly before God. It was just a blame culture, a lack of confidence in God. And yet we saw the tremendous grace of God that just reached out and lifted him up and made him useful for God again. And we saw that remarkable scene of the still, small voice of grace that just drew him out of the cave to be picked up and used of God again. What doest thou here, Elijah? Come with me. Time will not allow me, even if I was able, to touch everything in this passage. I don't intend to. I just want to leave with a message of encouragement to our hearts. And we come to second book of Kings and chapter 2, look at verse 1, and we discover him at Gilgal. And we ask him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And I just want you to be touched by this tonight. That as you look this man straight in the face, this man would have told you with confidence, I'm on my last journey. How would you feel about that? How would you feel if tonight, today, was your last journey on earth? Can I ask you, what would you do with it? Can I ask you, how would you spend it? Can I ask you, who would you spend it with? I trust you agree with me. Look at verse 1. It says, the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. He knew. He knew that this was the last journey. He knew that at the end of this journey, it was heaven. And I'm just touched as I look into his face tonight and say, what doest thou here, Elijah? I'm touched with the answers that he might have given us. Have you lived today? Have you lived this week as if you're on your last journey? Have you spent it? Who have you spent it with? If you knew that tomorrow was the last day, how would you spend it? Who would it be with? Look at Elijah. This man's going to take a journey. It's going to take him from Gilgal. And it's going to take him to Jordan. And it's going to take him through Jordan. And it's going to take him in a whirlwind up to heaven. What a journey. You say to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And if you pick up your commentaries, you'll hear different explanations about what it's all about. Maybe they say. Maybe Elijah would have said to you to revisit and reflect on the journey that I've taken. Well, maybe. Some might say to you that he would respond, I'm retracing the journey on which God has taken Israel. Well, I don't know about that, but he took them on that journey. Some might say to you that he would tell you, because the Lord has sent me. And I'd like to say amen to that. We're out of the desert sand now, aren't we? We're out of the corner of a dark cave on Mount Horeb now. Look at verse 2. He says in verse 2, the Lord hath sent me. to Bethel. Look at verse 4. He says, the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Look at verse 6, and he'll tell you, the Lord hath sent me. He'll tell you now, what doest thou here, Elijah? The Lord hath sent me to Bethel. The Lord hath sent me to Jericho. The Lord hath sent me to Jordan. I'm here. And it's lovely to be there right to the end of your days. Because the Lord has sent me. Just for a moment. Just for a moment he ends up in the desert sand. And he could never have told you, the Lord has sent me under this juniper tree. He could never have told you, the Lord has sent me into the darkness of this cave. But now the confidence is returned. And now he can say to you, right on the last journey, could you? I'm where the Lord wants me. I'm where the Lord has sent me. Right to the end of the journey, I'm moving in obedience to God. I admire that, don't you, in any believer that's been on the pathway for years? Just to see that pathway of obedience. And right to the very end, they're confident. They're where the Lord has sent them. What doest thou here, Elijah? I'm here because the Lord has sent me. But I just want you to go a step further with me. And I think maybe there's a deeper reason in that sense that leads on from there. Because if you look at chapter 2, verse 2, notice the words, it says, so they went down to Bethel. Chapter 2, verse 4, so they came to Jericho. Chapter 2, verse 6, they too went on. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. They too went over on dry ground. Right. This man has led largely a lonely journey. The most we've ever seen him with on one occasion was a servant. And last evening he left even that servant while he went into the wilderness. We thought this afternoon of those who valued the fellowship of others in our Bible reading together. There are some people, there are some saints of God, and I take it they have to be very special for this, whom God calls to travel a lonely path. And what a lonely path this man has trod. But we saw last evening that when God brought him out the darkness of that cave, a lonely and dejected, despondent man who's lost all his confidence, by the time God had finished with him and brought him down the mountain, he gave him a lovely man to be with him. And it says Elisha followed him and ministered unto him. How lovely that on this last journey, he's not alone. How lovely as he takes this last journey beside him, walks the lovely character of Elisha. And I believe, do you, that this journey is being taken as much for Elisha's benefit as anything else. And may I just say, practically in passing, how vital it is that older, more experienced spiritual brethren and sisters encourage younger ones along the journey with you. Elisha is going to have to succeed. Sometimes we go on as if we don't even want things to continue. We go on as if it's all going to end with us, because really, we're indispensable. There's no one else to follow. The Lord has always had others to follow. And it's vital that we who are there in the forefront now are ensuring, if the Lord be not come, that there are others to be there in the forefront to come. Nourish them. Don't stand back and criticize them. You nourish them. Cherish them in the things of the Lord. Don't put old heads on young shoulders. But encourage them on with your experience, with your knowledge, with your spirituality. And this journey is being taken so vitally by Elijah. It's an experience for him. And you can look at all those reasons that we've shared together. But it's lovely just to observe the emphasis on these two throughout the passage going together. I don't need to remind you, do I? That three times Elisha was challenged by Elijah. Look again at verses 2, 4 and 6. Tarry here, for the Lord hath sent me. And some will tell you that Elijah is seeking to dissuade Elisha. I don't believe it for a minute. Testing the resolve. Don't drag people along. Don't, I speak reverently, kick people along. That will never last. Draw them along. Encourage them along. I've seen too many grabbed and forced. I've seen too many kicked and beaten and bruised. And it's ended in disaster and tragedy. Here's a compassionate man. Here's a passionate man. Here's a man with a heart, a care, a concern. And here he is with Elisha. And he doesn't drag him or kick him. But he does test his resolve. Tarry here. And so it is, three times Elisha responded, look, as the Lord liveth. Up to this time, all Elijah had heard was other people saying, as the Lord thy God liveth. He'd come into contact with so many people for whom the Lord wasn't a living reality. And all they could talk about was Elijah's Lord, and he wasn't their Lord. But suddenly he finds in this man, and if you find younger men and women like this, cherish them. Move them on. Draw them on. Because Elisha says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave. And the resolve of the man, the exercise of the man, is genuine and true. Listen, there are sons of the prophets who see and meet Elisha on the way and say, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he just silences the voice of those men. I know it. But he will not be deflected. Here's a man who every step of the way wants to be near this man of God. He will not be separated from him. If you look at chapter 2, verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, it says, and stood to view afar off, while those two stood by Jordan. There are precious few that are prepared to go. There are plenty of people viewing afar off. I trust that you're not one of those tonight who views things afar off, but wants to know the reality and truth of things for yourself. And while 50 prophets or so are looking from a distance, Elisha stands beside Elijah at Jordan. But before he gets there, What doest thou here in Nazareth? I'm on the final journey. And that final journey is going to take me to heaven. Have you got a confidence like that? What doest thou here, Elijah? There's a young man standing beside him. And I love that one little section here where he actually calls him, verse 4, Elijah. Tarry here. I've got a young man standing beside me. And this man has been anointed in my room. My work is ended. My journey is finished. But the Lord's work is to go on. The Lord's work is to continue. And standing beside my side is a young man that needs to take a journey. And I'm going to take him on that journey, and I can't stop over it in detail tonight. But I want you to notice, please, where that journey begins, chapter 2, verse 1. That Elijah will be taken up by a whirlwind. It says, Elisha went with Elijah from here. What a lesson it must have been for Elisha to commence at Gilgal. You will recall that it was at Gilgal that those who had come out of the wilderness who had not been circumcised were circumcised. It was Gilgal, which means literally to roll. It was at Gilgal that God says in Joshua chapter 5 verse 9, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. It was at Gilgal that they had to come to the realization of the end of the flesh. They cannot move according to the dictates of the flesh. They must move by faith. It was from Gilgal that they set out to defeat Jericho. Not in the energies of the flesh. I know, says Paul, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. No wonder he says, mortify the things of the flesh. And it's not in the energies of the flesh that they set out from Gilgal, but it's by faith that they move out. How appropriate for a young man that if he's going to be a man of God, then he must know what it is to have no confidence in the flesh. That he too, like Elijah, must move by faith. We'll start, says Elijah, what is that here, Elijah, from Gilgal? And you'll trace his steps down and you'll discover, look at verse 2, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. End of verse 2, so they went down to Bethel. What doest thou here, Elijah? I'm here at Bethel. That this young man who sees how vital it is not to move in the energies of the flesh but by faith. It's here that a man of God must come to know the value of Bethel, house of God. Some of us were hearing that on Saturday. The place where Jacob came from. The Lord's presence was there. Surely the Lord is in this place. The place where the Lord's holiness was found. How dreadful is this place? It was the Lord's house. This is none other than the house of God. This was the place of the Lord's provision, says Jacob. This is the gate of heaven. This is the place of the Lord's promises. The land, says God to Jacob at Bethel, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I am with thee, will keep thee, and will bring thee again to this land. Bethel. The place where the Spirit of God is found. He poured oil upon the top of it. What doest thou here, Elijah? This young man must know to be a man of God, to cherish and value on the way to heaven, the house of God. I'm on my way to heaven, says Elijah. I've lived by faith, not in the energies of the flesh. Once I did, and I ended up in the desert sands. I lived by faith. I value house of God, the place where the presence of God is. This young man must appreciate the house of God. Look at what it says. They not only went to Bethel, I wish I could stay with these old things, but at the end of verse 4, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. We were thinking of Jericho this afternoon. My, that place that the children of Israel had first gained by faith. That place that knew its downfall as a result of the children of God moving by faith. The place that God had cursed and commanded that it should never ever be rebuilt. The man's rebellion. We thought about the attractiveness of the world this afternoon. The pleasantness of the world. My good friend Jeffrey Harrison used to say time and time again, it's not the ugliness of the world that worries me with believers. It's the loveliness of the world. The attractiveness of it, pleasant place. And they come to Jericho, and they come to a place that has been defeated by faith. They come to a place that cannot speak of the energies of the flesh. They come to a place that says the attractiveness of a world can have no place in the heart and life of the people of God and the man of God who is on the way to heaven. Just understand that, because that place ultimately faces the judgment of God, and their journey ends at Jordan, verse 6, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. What doest thou here, Elijah? I'm on my way to heaven. Israel took the journey the other way round. This man's going from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho, to Jordan. He's leaving the land behind. What doest thou here, Elijah? This is the place, Jordan, that separated Israel from Canaan. The land that was flowing with milk and honey. They took the journey the other way around. This was the place they first had to come to. This was the place they had to cross in order to be dead to the desert and dead to all that which was old. This was the place where the ark went before them in the midst of Jordan, and they went through on dry land. This is the place, isn't it? That points us to the death of the Lord Jesus. That ark that was going through the midst of Jordan, they went through on dry ground. That place that speaks to us of the triumph that was his. Where he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And all that we were in the flesh found its end at the cross of Christ. And his death and his resurrection opened up to us a life of rich spiritual blessing. What dost thou feel, Major? I'm on a journey that's taking me from Gilgal. I'm on a journey that's taking me ultimately to Jordan. I'm on a journey that's taking me beyond Jordan into a wilderness sea. And it's here that I'm going back to heaven. The only way we can ever go to heaven is in virtue of what he did for us at Calvary's cross. In virtue of his death. In virtue of his shed blood. In virtue of his glorious resurrection. It's all that he did at Calvary that gives you and me hope, assurance, and peace, and a future today. It's here at Jordan. You'll discover it says, look at those beautiful words in chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked. I love that. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that Elijah went up. What a beautiful picture. It's a Jordan that Elisha will say to Elijah before he goes, I pray thee, let me have a double portion of thy spirit. Is this arrogance? Is this wanting to be better than Elijah? Is this wanting to be more powerful than Elijah? No, this is the place where he stands beside a man of God, recognizes having taken the journey that he's taken, the task that is in front of him, recognizing the burden that is on his shoulders in relation to it all. And he says to Elijah, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. If thou see me. If thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. What would you have seen on the banks of Jordan? What would you have seen beyond Jordan in that wilderness sea? Would you have seen what Elisha saw? His eye was on the man who was going up to heaven. Elijah says to him, if thou see me, not if you see the whirlwind, not if you see the chariots, not if you see the horses, not if you see the fire, if you see me when I go, it shall be so. And I love Elisha. This man's come by way of Gilgal, by way of Bethel, by way of Jericho, by way of Jordan. And the waters have been smitten with the mantle of Elijah, and they pass through and dry ground. And he stands there and is captivated with a man. Prophets will seek to divert his attention. Prophets will seek to get his vision anywhere. Your master's going to be taken from you today. There's no one that can enter into it like Elisha. There's only one person that stands right by him. And he says, if thou see me. And Elisha's vision is fixed upon a man who's going to heaven. And it was so. It's him, my father, my father. He sees him as he goes. And as he goes, the mantle falls off Elijah. What an amazing scene this is. the man of the whirlwind of the fire, is taken up in the whirlwind. And there's the chariots of horses and fire that separate them. And he's taken up in the whirlwind. And the man's journey has ended. And as he goes, his mantle falls to him. And Elijah, as that mantle falls, Elisha picks it up. And how lovely to see that Elisha's ministry, Elisha's pathway as a man of God, began with a man who had gone into heaven. And in the strength of that, he goes with that mantle, and the prophets look on and see what's to happen. But that prophet comes back having seen him go, captivated with the man that's gone to heaven. And he comes back, and the spirit of Elijah is upon him. He smites the waters, the parts, and the journey that Elijah has brought him on, he now begins in reverse. And from here, he takes the journey back again, right back to Gilgal, the way Israel had come. And he put the mantle on that exhibited the character of the man who had gone up to heaven. And those prophets who viewed him, look at what they say. As they looked, look at verse 15. They saw that the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha. He exhibited the power and the features and the characteristics of the man who had gone to heaven. And the man who wanted to go. The man who requested. Was taken out of this scene without God. And we say from our hearts tonight, do we? Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without God. No sickness, no sadness, no dread, no crying. Caught up through the clouds with the Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. But in the meantime, he's left us here. And it may be tonight that he calls us home. It may be that today is the last day. How lovely when he returns. If he finds you and me captivated with a man who's gone into heaven. And as we've been enjoined in Colossians, putting on those things that we were reminded of yesterday so beautifully. Speak of him. And as we see this lovely character Elisha coming away from that scene, and with this I close, it says in verse 16, behold now there be servants, 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of God have taken him up and cast him upon some mountain, or cast him into some valley. What sort of God do you think it would have been that would have taken a man like Elijah? My God is Jehovah. That would have taken a man like Elijah and cast him on some mountain, or cast him into some valley. We never ever treat a servant like that. And how lovely to know this. Should we go tonight, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And today could be the last word. Take our blessed gift.